Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A sparrow somehow got into the rafters of St. Helen's Church in London. At the time of its appearance, the church was recording a guitar performance for broadcast on the BBC. And so the chirping bird was not exactly chirping with the beat. So the rector, Father Robin Clark, now that's a really great name for the offending pastor in the story, asked the congregation to leave, and he called his friend to come with his BB gun to shoot the offending sparrow. The killing of the sparrow made the front news in England. The Telegraph newspaper ran the headline that said, "Reverend Robin orders the death of sparrow." Letters to the editor flowed, chastising the cruel, unusual punishment for the poor little bird. People who hadn't darkened the door of the church for years suddenly remembered Psalm 84, where it says, "Even the sparrows are welcome in the house of the Lord." Now, I find it reassuring when Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Joni Erickson Tada is the writer and speaker who praises God even after her diving accident, which left her a quadriplegic. And she writes, "I glanced at the bird feeder and smiled. I could understand Jesus noticing if a hawk or a falcon or eagle fell to the ground, because those are important birds he created, the kind worth attending to. But a scraping sparrow? There are a dime a dozen. Jesus said so himself. And yet from thousands of bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scruffiest bird of all. A pint-sized thing that even dedicated bird watchers ignore." That thought calmed my fears. I felt significant and noticed, because if God takes note of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, and what they are doing, I know he keeps tabs on me. Sparrows are humble birds. That was true in the Bible. Sparrows were considered food for the poor, and because they were so cheap, the poor could afford to use them in sacrifice to God. If they couldn't afford a lamb or a goat, you could always buy a sparrow two for a penny. A sparrow is just about as worthless as a bird can get. They're dirty, they have fleas, and they reproduce abundantly. They're scavengers, and so they live in populated areas. Where you find people, you're going to find sparrows. Now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services tell us that there are currently 130,000 bald eagles now in the continental United States. In fact, you can watch eagle cams right now if you go on the internet. There are no sparrow cams. But isn't it nice to know that God has a sparrow cam on every sparrow in the United States? So what an amazing teaching. God sees the sparrow when it falls, Jesus tells us. Jesus is saying to us that whatever trial we are going through, God is aware and God cares. Now, I don't know about you, but I spend an inordinate amount of time being afraid. I might not be conscious that it's fear that's driving me, because I'm going to say, "I'm a little worried." Or better yet, I'm going to say, "I'm a little concerned." But at heart, it's fear. So is anyone else here a little bit of, a worrier? Or I'll make it a little better. Is anyone here a little concerned? Are you concerned about your health? Or concerned about your spouse's health? Or your kids? Or your grandkids? Or your retirement funds? Or your dressing etiquette about now? Or all of the above? There's this great scene from one of my favorite movies whenever we need to be uplifted. Tish and I will watch Airplane. And there's this elderly woman who is sitting next to the character Ted Stryker as the plane is about to take off, and he's visibly shaking. "Nervous?" the elderly woman says. "Yes," Stryker answers. Now, thinking this might be his first flight, the elderly woman asks, "First time?" Stryker answers, "No, I've been nervous lots of times." Well, I've been nervous lots of times, too. It reminds me of the story about a nervous airline passenger who began pacing the terminal when a thunderstorm delayed his flight. And during his walk, he ran across one of those flight insurance machines that airports used to have. And the machine was offering $100,000 in the event of a plane crash. And the policy just cost $3. So the man looked out the window and saw all those storm clouds building, and he thought of his family at home. And for that price, he thought it was crazy not to buy such a policy. And so he did. Then he looked for a place to eat, and he stopped at a kiosk that was selling Chinese food. Now, it was a nice meal until he opened up his fortune cookie. It read, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." Now there was something truly to worry about. So what is it that makes us worry so much about things that are probably never going to happen? And if you think about it, I can think about all those things I've worried about for 5 years, and if I lined them all up, maybe one out of 20 things has ever really happened to me. What and who can free us from the bondage of fear? Dr. Charles Mayo said this about worry. This is Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic. He says, "Worry is the chief contributor to depression, nervous breakdowns, high blood pressure, heart problems, and early death. And stress is often the thing that cause some of our greatest health problems." And then he goes on and says, "I've never known a person to die from hard work, but I've known a lot of people who have died simply from worry." And I think that's true. And I think you all know that. And so Christ wants to set us free from all our fears, whatever they may be. And he does it in this passage that reminds us that we have a loving Father who's always with us, always mindful of our needs, and always willing to grant us his joy. His eye is on the sparrow. And God has such an intimate knowledge of us that he knows every hair on our heads. My goal is to make this easier for God. Let that sink in for you. Let me repeat that. I got a bigger laugh at the 8 o'clock. God has such an intimate knowledge of us that he knows every hair on our heads, and my job is to make it easier for him. Better? You think you're alone when you face your problems, but there is one who's even closer to us than the air we breathe. He knows our needs. He cares about us. We are God's children. And just as we would never abandon our own children, so God will never abandon us. Now, such an awareness of the unconditional love of God should give us an enormous freedom about living our lives. The ultimate freedom in life comes from trusting your life in God. And the message of the gospel is that we neither fear life nor death. The ultimate freedom of life comes from trusting your life in God. We neither fear tomorrow nor today, and we can live faith-filled lives, lives bolstered by our knowledge of God's love for us and God's presence with us. This is the secret of achieving good things and great things for God. We operate best in the world when our lives are built on this rock-solid confidence that the world is a good place, that the world is a God who watches over us, and a God who will never forsake us. Charles Bristol once called this the power of believing. As a reporter, Bristol studied the religions of the world, and he watched them operate. And so what he did is he went into hospitals. He saw some people die while other people just as sick with the same prognosis got well. He watched football teams win championships when football teams with the same personnel, the same quality of personnel, lose. He studied the lives of great men and women of his time in all fields, and he wrote a book based on all of his experiences, and he called it The Power of Believing. And this is what he wrote. I discovered that there is a golden thread that runs through all the teachings that makes them work for those who sincerely accept and apply them. And that thread can be summed up and named in one word: belief. Belief. It's the same element of fact, belief, which causes people to be cured, enables people to climb high on the ladder of success. There's genuine power in believing. And Jesus said the same thing when he says, everything is possible for one who believes. And of course, Jesus is not just talking about belief in belief itself. He's talking about belief in a loving God who sees every sparrow and knows the very hair and number of hairs on my head. And such faith is not something we earn, and that's what we Christians believe. It's a free gift from our Heavenly Father. The best things in life are free, says the old proverb, and of course that's true, and you can't put a price on love, health, or friendship. However, there's a sense in which you can earn them. To have a friend, it says, be a friend. And health is not attained by being a couch potato. We have to walk or run or lift or perform some other physical act. But some of the best things in life are free. Not with faith. Faith is a gift. And the only way you can receive it is by being open to it. And a simple prayer will do. Maybe the prayer that was uttered by the man whose son was having convulsions. He brought his son to Jesus, and Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father answered, from childhood. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible for one who believes. And the father of the child cried out, I believe. Help my unbelief. And, you know, maybe that's your prayer right now because your life is in turmoil. You know, you're terribly worried about something, and fear keeps you awake at night. And if you could only trust God who watches over sparrows, pray with that complete sincerity, I believe, help my unbelief. Because I've been there too. You know, some of you know, I've had a few health concerns. Actually, I was thinking about this morning. In December, I had a few little heart blips, and I was sitting there in December, and I not only had my this thing, which I always find kind of interesting to deal with, but I also had a heart monitor, and I was so concerned about my health, and I had to pray, God, I believe, help my unbelief. God answers those prayers. Maybe you can open your heart to the gift of faith. While driving to a speaking engagement in Southern California, a pastor passed through San Juan Capistrano, and the line, when the swallows come back to Capistrano, immediately came to his mind, and he began humming that old song. Maybe you remember that song? It was hit in the 1950s by Pat Boone. Maybe I'm the only person old enough to remember that. No one has nodded their head through all three services. I guess I'm the only person who remembers it. Well, anyways. He recalled that for more than 150 years, those golden-breasted birds had spent their summers in the eaves of the old Catholic mission located there. The birds always arrive on March 19th and leave on October 23rd, never missing those dates. Not once have they varied over the years, and even leap year never changes the time of their coming and going. And the swallows invariably start out before the daylight on their southern flight. Now, how do you explain that unusual phenomenon? Nature's guidance? Coincidence? Or maybe the fact that the swallow's great creator has somehow put in these creatures this instinct that tells them with this uncanny accuracy when to head south and when to return. Their survival depends on this innate sense of timing. So understand the care God exercises to guide the swallow and all the wonderful fowls of air, that wonderful guidance. Think about that, and then the greater value that God has for us. That's the point Jesus is trying to make today. The one who is so marvelously provided for our dear feathered friends, that one who is so marvelously provided for them, that one is so interested in you and me. Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Good advice, my friends. Believe and do not be afraid. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.